This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Boys, put down your utensils. I want to talk to you about something real quick. If there's anything that you want to talk about, any kind of secrets, now's the time to put it on the table, okay? And if you tell me, we're not going to be mad.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I went to the petting zoo and I let the goat lick my
butt.
Honey, promise you wouldn't get mad, okay? They're being honest.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
One time I put a firefly in my butt.
Why?
To make my farts glow.
Oh, God.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I touched myself to Drew Carey on the bus, right?
God. Okay, that's enough. Stop, please.
The Fan.
Let me tell you what I want to do.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan. Best open in the history of radio.
Well, at least our guest isn't on the line yet.
I love just playing that open for him, letting him hear it, and then you just kind of know, like, this is the show.
I want to know,
are you ready?
How many guests have heard that open and wanted to say something, but they're like, you know what?
What the hell is wrong with you guys?
I'm just never coming back on this show again.
What the hell is wrong with you people? Coming up at 2:15, we're going to get to the mail sack. That segment is limping along. I'm not going to lie. It's limping.
I'm pretty close to saying we should stop.
We're
doing
close
it.
To being done. Well, the other thing we got going too is, remember, in 2 weeks, plums are back.
Oh. Yeah, touche.
The plums come back. So there could be a swap of mail sack for plums. I don't know, but we're limping along. So if you got any questions, sports or non-sports related, get them in for 2:15. Tony Romo is getting an offer to make an incredible amount of money. We have turtle sex news we need to get to that we did not yesterday, and I teased it, so I want to make sure we get to that today. Then we'll answer the poll questions, close up the show. But what?
Turtle sex tease right before the guest.
Right there.
You're making up for missing the open.
Happy Tuesday, man. But no, the big story in sports last 24, 48 hours outside of college football has been what's going on in Major League Baseball, the Houston Astros, and what is to come for the Boston Red Sox. Joining us now to talk about it on the line is Radio.com Sports Insider John Heyman. Insider calls are brought to you by new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. You can give John a follow on Twitter at John Heyman. John, thanks so much for the time today, man. We appreciate it here in Portland. I'll just start. We've been like talking about this for a number of weeks now. Now speculating on what's it going to be like, what the punishment's going to be like, how's this going to play out for Houston. It all comes down, the Astros respond. Just what was your reaction to the news yesterday, the suspensions and then the Astros reaction to it?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the suspensions were going to be tough, and they were. And they, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, had warned that the penalties were going to be stiff, including suspensions and loss of draft choices if it happened again, after the Red Sox were caught in the Apple Watch scheme of 2017. So he gave the warning and then gave tough penalties. I thought that Jim Crane, the owner, overreacted, dismissing the two gentlemen, the manager and the GM. It seemed like to me that he was throwing them under the bus. I didn't think that was the right thing to do. I mean, you have to believe that Jim Crane didn't know anything that was going on. And, you know, he's not accepting any responsibility. He's pointing the finger at his guys instead of retaining them. So I think he should have to be stuck with them. And, you know, I think that's life. The owner has a lot of power. The owner can do what he wants. And I thought it was a bit uneven because of that. I didn't think that the dismissal was the right thing to do. Frankly, I think, you know, Carlos Beltran probably got off easy. He's right. Mentioned it here, so it's clear that he's part of that scheme, and he has no penalty, and now he's a manager of a team, and A.J. Hinch is not a manager of a team anymore, and he's under suspension. Seemed a bit uneven taken altogether, particularly because Beltran was in the middle of the scheme, and Hinch, while he didn't do enough, obviously, he did break two monitors, which that shows kind of his displeasure of what's going on. He was not in favor of it. Didn't do enough, as I said, so deserved a penalty. But he was against it. Beltran in favor, and Beltran is now the manager of the New York Mets. And Hinch is under suspension and out of a job.
Yeah. You know, John, I couldn't help when this story broke about the punishments and everything that was going on. And obviously, we're still waiting on Boston and Cora's punishment, whatever that ends up being. I couldn't help but go to the Dodgers, and they basically were put on a gag order yesterday. They tweeted out that they can't talk about the World Series events. How are the Dodgers supposed to be left feeling knowing that both these teams cheated and they're the years that they beat them?
Yeah. I mean, that's not good. They can't feel good about it. You know, if they do not have the title, even if they vacated the title, does that mean they get the title? Then they didn't do that, obviously. They can't really give them the trophy. There's no celebration. And that's it, you know. I guess it's like the people who finished second in MVP the year that Bonds and others of that ilk won. The Dodgers have a long history of being cheated. As we know, in 1951, the Giants won the pennant, but in reality, we know that they had help winning the pennant.
Yeah, yeah, that's been going happening to them for a long time in different cities. We're talking with John Heyman, MLB. Our radio.com MLB insider. Give him a follow on Twitter at John Heyman. The Cora thing, I mean, his name continues to get brought up. I don't know what the timeline is on that of when he's going to face a suspension, but I mean, I'm just sitting here and I'm reading through, you know, kind of parts of the report and how big of an impact he was in the whole system in Houston, and then it happening again in Boston, the lying about it, you know, over the years. What kind of punishment are we expecting here? If Hinch got 1 year, it's got to be more than that, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be in that category. We'll see. We don't know. They just started that investigation. They are under a deadline, though, that needs to be done before spring training. He can't really go into spring training. As we know, he's going to be suspended for some length of time. You know, he wasn't really in charge. He did have some power as the bench coach and probably directed lower-level employees to do a lot of stuff that involved the allegations here, more than allegations, proven allegations. So, you know, he was involved there. And then Boston, the cheating that went on there was not as egregious as the one in Houston. So he was in charge in Boston. You know, I think a year-long penalty is a pretty stiff penalty. I don't know that it's going to be more than that. I'm going to say it's in that range.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he lied about it for years. He wasn't asked about it until it came up, and he declined comment. The one who lied is Carlos Beltran.
Right.
He lied. He clearly lied publicly that he was not involved. And then as soon as MLB made clear that the players were not going to have any exposure, at least made clear to them, and then he told the truth. So he was the liar. Cora did not lie, as far as I know.
Yeah. You know, John, you were in the thick of it during the steroid era in terms of just covering baseball and seeing how everybody was reacting to it. And I'm kind of curious. This feels like it's obviously a massive story, but call it, you know, having too much to consume as viewers with entertainment, different sports, streaming, all that stuff. I don't know what it is, but it feels like it's not quite on the level. And when you have two teams win a title and they're involved in cheating scandals, that's pretty big to me. But what do you think the blowback's going to be for Major League Baseball with fans, viewership? Is it going to be anywhere near how people reacted during the steroid era? Or do you think this is going to be massively different where people maybe not care at all?
I think it'll be less. You know, it involves one team, and then when Boston has the ruling, there'll be two teams. So it's steroid was basically league-wide. I would say everybody was involved in it, but basically every team was involved in it to some degree. At this point, we only know of two teams. Unfortunately, there's two teams that won the World Series in 2017 and 2018. So I don't think this is a good day for baseball. I do think the penalties needed to be severe, and they were. So they did a good job with that. But you know, I think that this certainly will be remembered forever as one of the scandals of Major League Baseball. But I would still say that the steroid scandal was a bigger. If I had to rank the scandals, I would rank this one less than the steroid scandal. That involved more than a decade and people from every team.
Right, yeah. There was a lot of scandals over the history of baseball. It's hard to rank them, but steroids is a tough one to top and what happened in that era of the sport. I mean, this is impossible to answer, but I'm just curious to pick your brain on it of, you know, the steroid stuff happens and they come out with the stiff penalties, you know, 80 game suspension, 150, Bucci out of the game after a couple of them. And they try and do everything they can to get it out. And it clearly hasn't worked. Guys are trying to find ways around it. Different testing, you know, players are still testing positive. So clearly it hasn't been able to eradicate it. Is this enough, in your judgment, do you think this is enough of a punishment for other teams if they were doing it? Because nobody's naive enough to think that the only two teams in baseball doing it were Boston and L.A. Is this enough to get other teams to say, you know what, man, it's not worth it. Let's back off of our sign-stealing system.
Yeah, I think that it's a good start, and I think they'll eliminate the replay room or usage of the replay room and take some more measures, because basically if the opportunity is there, a lot of people will be tempted, and it's human nature, and you know, they're going to continue to work on it. But I do think this was a good step toward at least eradicating this kind of cheating. I don't think we're going to see the bang on the trash can. We'll have to go with something else maybe, but maybe someone's going to realize there's trash cans being banged on. I guess Andy Farcar, the White Sox, is the only one who really noticed it and stepped off a bunch of times.
Yeah.
They did a pretty good job of keeping the trash cans quiet somehow. Nobody else seemed to step off or even notice it on the other team, as far as we know. It got noticed, really, because Mike Fiers, who was a player on the team, complained publicly to The Athletic. And that's how this whole thing got started.
Yeah. How much longer, John, till you have to fly out to Portland to cover a Major League Baseball game?
I don't know. We'll see. They're one of the candidates. I mean, Nashville, Charlotte, Las Vegas, it's probably a half dozen candidates. Portland's a good one. I haven't done a study, so I don't know whether it's the best one, but it's certainly a good one.
Yeah, we're keeping our fingers crossed. Hopefully sooner rather than later. Radio.com MLB Insider John Heyman. Insider calls are brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Go give him a follow on Twitter at John Heyman. John, thanks so much. Big scandal. I know you've been busy. We appreciate the time here in Portland.
All right, thanks, guys. See you later.
There you go. John Heyman, Radio.com Sports MLB Insider.
I think a difference, too, you know, he mentioned, like, I asked about the steroid stuff and this. I think this is as big a deal. These are managers, front offices. These are teams that won championships. And yeah, sure, it's two teams, not the collective. And in the steroid era, it was almost everybody. The difference to me, though, one, in coverage, you know, everything is seven channels, even back then in the steroid stuff when it started popping, you still had a limited amount of channels. And two, I also feel like the steroid era was... I feel like the media did a great job of building up the steroid era, because, you know, the famous thing is that everybody knew, but nobody talked about it. Nobody wrote about it. Nobody outed players. It wasn't until the whole Congress thing stepped in where steroids in baseball became this national conversation. I think the reason it's a bigger scandal is because basically everybody benefited from it and nobody wanted to ruin it. Whereas this is straight cheating. This is cheating at the highest level that involves championships. You're not going to get all 30 teams busted the way that you did with steroids. And I get where he's coming from because of everything that was involved with the steroid era, but pretty massive to me. I just think the difference is the media kind of let everybody get away with steroids. Sure. This is not something you let people get away with.
Very true. Yeah, very true. It was when you have records fall, it's a big deal. And that's why the steroid era was so controversial. But here you're talking about champions. And you asked him the question. I think it's valid. And the way Major League Baseball has put a muzzle on the Dodgers.
It's ridiculous.
Not being
order?
Able to say something about this whole thing is I mean, I look, I hate the Dodgers.
You sure? Yeah. You hate them more than anybody else.
You just feel for them. It sucks. They had two chances to win championships. They couldn't get it done. And now you find out that both teams that you lost to were cheating. And they're claiming we didn't cheat in the World Series. We couldn't. There are too many attendants around. But,
you know,
that doesn't matter. To cheat to get there, it just...
It's a stupid argument, because if you don't cheat in the regular season, do you win that many games? And who are you playing in the playoffs? Maybe the Dodgers aren't playing Houston and Red Sox.
Sure, maybe they don't get all the way to the World Series, and it's an easier matchup for them. So, really bad look for baseball. They came down, I thought, pretty swiftly on Houston, and we'll await the punishment on Cora. Let's get to the mail sack. Any questions you got? 55305. They can be sports or non-sports related. Text them into the fan text line. And we'll get to those. We'll answer them. And then what else we got? We got Tony Romo news I'm going to get to today. Antonio Brown's in my show notes. I don't know if we'll have time for that, but he is continuing to spiral downhill.
Did we pull the audio for that?
Yikes. And then we do, I promise you today, have turtle sex news for you. So it's going to be a fun final 45 minutes. The male sex next on 1080 The Fam.
Loves your mom, loves Jesus.
Text to the fan text line 55305 male sax and turtle sax. I like where this is going. Yep, it's gonna be fun. Somebody also said too soft. MLB should have punished players to further deter future players from accepting in-game information illegally. Same idea of why they come down harsh on players who got caught in steroids. Giving info and using illegal info are both crimes. Here's the tough part with that. I agree with the sentiment. I would love to see some players punished. I didn't read the entire report, so I don't know if there was ringleaders in the clubhouse of the players that were doing it. The issue, though, then comes in you're dealing with the MLB Players Association.
Yeah, the collective bargaining agreement.
That's not a road they want to go down.
Public forums, if there's a hearing
lawsuits,
or those sorts of things.
It's a whole
Major League Baseball wants this to go away quickly, and they want as little detailed information to get out in the public as possible.
How did Beltran not get in trouble?
It's a really good question.
I don't get that.
It's a really good question.
Well, if the violations occurred while he was a player, it goes back to the
sure.
He then is under those... The Players Association collective bargaining agreement.
The stupid thing with that, though, is you're the only one listed. You're the only one. You're the only player. Everybody involved with Houston, you were the only one named.
Yeah, that
and now
one
you're a manager. So the whole players union thing, maybe that's your argument is I want to go to players union to represent me and fight against this because I was technically a player. Dude, you're a manager now.
Right, and Heyman pointed out he lied about it when he was asked about it, too. So he lied about it on top of everything.
Couldn't Alex Cora do the same thing? Hey, I was a player once, so protect me.
Yeah, that's a slippery. I agree with the sentiment. I would love to see some players, if they are ringleaders of something, be punished for it. But then you're dealing with the Players Association. It's a whole other can of worms.
I hate that they're muzzling the Dodgers, too. That's
so stupid.
Yeah, it sucks,
man.
Let the Dodgers speak their truth.
Yeah, but Swigart's right. They want this to go away, and that's why they tried to come down as swiftly as they could with strong punishments. Everybody says, wow, good job. And then it's kind of like, all right, well, that's done with.
Well,
now let's move on.
Well, and that's for owners. Owners, I don't care how rich you are. If you have to write a $5 million check, that will get your attention.
Well, I believe that's the most you can find, too, isn't
probably.
It?
Probably.
I think there's that's like the maximum fine.
Their top two draft picks for the next two rounds.
That's a big deal.
That sets you back a little bit.
This is all the New England Patriots' fault. If the New England Patriots don't cheat in their Super Bowl, we care about this. But because the Patriots have been caught cheating now twice, maybe three if you buy Deflategate.
Oh, I think this would have been a big deal for baseball no matter what.
Mm. No. I don't think it's that big a deal for baseball right now. What are they dealing with? Nobody can talk. Nobody's giving information out. You're punishing the people. They're getting fired. The season's going to start in a month.
It's a big deal within Major League Baseball.
Sure, but my problem is,
well,
it's the players and it's the fans. If the Patriots never get caught with Spygate, when do you have a champion caught cheating? Back-to-back champions. When does that happen?
Those are the only two that I can think
That's
of.
That's a pretty ugly thing for the league to have, right?
Outside of college sports, maybe you cheat in recruiting, something like that.
There's a reason Tim Donaghy was a big story for a minute. It was because it involved cheating and giving games
away.
It's integrity of the game, and we dealt with it with Donaghy. We dealt with it with the Patriots. You know, you see this all the time. There's so much out there that we have to consume. I just think we eventually become numb to stuff that we used to care about, and now we don't. I think that goes in sports, politics, religion. There's a lot of things we just gloss over and we don't care anymore because it's shoved down our throats 24/7, and we don't want to concern ourselves as much.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. And just to give you a split, I mean, we had somebody text in say, I can guarantee you nobody cares about this.
That's what
it's
I'm
not
saying.
A big deal.
Yep.
And then another person texting in saying all the players should be punished. It's all tainted. Look at Altuve's numbers at home and on the road.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're going to get mixed bags. I think Swigart's right in terms of it's a big deal inside the baseball community. There's a lot of players that have been upset by this that are claiming that they haven't cheated, although we saw that in the steroid era, so they didn't do it, and then a lot of guys ended up doing it. But a lot of guys took joy in watching Houston kind of get knocked down a peg. But that's an inside baseball thing. For a lot of general sports fans, it's, all right. And you just kind of move on because it's out of sight. The NFL playoffs going on, national championship last night.
That's my point.
You're following your NBA team. You're just like, oh, how about that? Houston, okay.
No, two champions. That won, they cheated, huh? Yeah. They only won because they cheated.
Yep. Okay, let's get to the mail sack, shall we? We're already running out of time here. I'll run through some of these quickly. You guys ready to rock and roll?
Let's do it, my man.
Let's go.
We'll see how we feel about these today. P1 Scott tweeted us early in the morning, hashtag mail sack. What's the favorite U.S. city you have ever visited? Mine would be New Orleans and Nashville.
Mine is going to be Austin and Maui.
Okay.
Favorite American cities.
New Orleans is really tough for me to top, but I would probably say Charleston.
Wish I could say I've been to both of those. I've heard great things, mainly from you.
certainly Wailea in Maui.
Yeah.
It's hard to beat.
Just fantastic. And actually, I've been there a couple of times and had great times. Both times I went, Philadelphia.
Philly.
Philly's a cool city. I'm with you on that. Like, their sports fans can suck and be insufferable, but the history.
As well as the history of the city.
Dude, if you're into history, Philly is a must-go, man. Must-go. Seeing the old, you know, the Independence Hall and all that stuff. Yeah, I'm with you on that. People in Cody asked if you could swim in any liquid, what would it be?
Jell-O.
Is Jell-O considered a liquid or a solid?
What's ice? It's a frozen liquid. Jell-O is just a molded liquid.
Okay.
I've always wanted to swim in Jell-O.
I feel like you... Okay. Can you swim in Jell-O?
I don't know. Can you?
I don't know. I have a lot of questions.
Your spoon goes through it awfully easy. I'd imagine 100.
It does.
70
depends
plus
on
pounds
how much
would.
You've let it set up and how much gelatin you actually put in.
Talking like a 4-foot pool.
I'm figuring like
of Jell-O.
I'm picturing like a waterbed. You're just kind of rocking back and forth on top of it. Would you sink through Jell-O?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is like imagine, let's go 7 feet.
And could you get out?
If you jump into 7 feet of Jell-O, would you sink to the bottom? And to your follow-up right there, could you swim out easily? Would you suffocate? How would that work? I've always wanted to know. And so I'm going to pick Jell-O.
You blew my mind with that. I don't really know how to answer anything.
It's
on top
something
of that.
I want to do before I die, and it's probably not going to happen.
Fill a bathtub with Jell-O. You could pull that off.
Yeah, I'm too lazy.
Yeah. A lot of Jell-O shots, too, and then you can eat your way out.
Don't you have to refrigerate Jell-O for it to harden?
Yes. It has to be chilled to set up.
Okay.
So I got to have a chill thing next to my bathtub.
Just have a cold bathroom. Do it on a cold day. Don't turn the heat on in the bathroom. You'll be fine. You can figure it out.
What would you choose?
A liquid to swim in. You wouldn't want to go booze because it'd be too sticky.
I dare you to say something bold like water.
I'm going to say I've done it, but the ocean in the South Pacific is, there's not much better than that.
I'm assuming the question.
That water was warm in Vietnam.
I'm assuming the question is non-water related.
Yeah.
It's a liquid you have to swim in. I'm assuming water's a no-count these there.
Are you going chocolate milk? No, what are you doing?
No, nothing that's going to be sticky like that.
No.
You know, you might, I mean, if you had to pick another liquid.
Well, what else are your options?
You might go
sticky?
Normal milk. If you had to pick another liquid.
No,
you
I
might
do
go normal
not
milk.
Want normal milk.
Well, what's pop? It's all fizzy and stuff. I don't want to swim in pop.
No, it'll hurt your eyes.
It'll hurt your eyes.
How do you know that?
Put pop in your eyes and see how it feels. Test that when you get
home. I mean, does water hurt your eyes if it touches your eyes?
It's all acidic. No thanks, man.
Give me chocolate milk
orange
if we're going
juice
milk.
With the pulp. Feels like there's animals in there.
No, I feel like you ever swim in a lake and you feel the seaweed at the bottom?
Yeah.
That's what pulp orange juice would feel
it
like.
It freaks you out. It gets you on the toe.
It does freak you out.
Get all scared.
Something bit me.
Hey, mail sack, if you were to move out of the Portland-Vancouver area, would you go to Eastern Washington or Oregon or the coast? So go inland or towards
coast.
The coast?
I'd go to the coast.
Yeah, this is a debate.
Well, wait, are you talking, well, where, I guess?
I'm assuming Bend.
Wait, did he say Eastern Oregon or Washington?
See, he said
either. Eastern. If you're like in Vancouver, would you go to Eastern Washington or... Yeah.
Okay, so Bend or the Oregon coast or Pullman...
Sure.
Or, God, the Washington coast sucks, too.
I'm going to Bend. I'm not going further east.
You
I'm not getting
in
out to John Day or Baker or Ontario, or I'm not getting out there.
I live in Burns.
I have my only problem with Bend is that I think it's growing too much. Like, it's not going to be some cool, quaint town to visit
in,
like, 5 years.
Yeah, but you
don't
have to go very far outside of Bend or Redmond to find wide open country.
I think I'd rather find, like, a smaller coastal area and live there. I love the beach. I mean, okay. I love Bend, but...
Okay, I'd go Bend. I think there's more to do. I'd prefer the snow over the rain in the winter. Nicer weather in the summer.
Well, we know you'd prefer the snow.
Mailbag question. I give you $100 million, but you can never set foot outside the state of Oregon for as long as you live. Do you do it?
Yes.
$100 million, you can never leave the state.
$100 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'd have Hawaii in my backyard. I'd have a full court basketball court.
You'd Why never would I leave the state.
Why? Why would I need to?
Oregon State's in the national championship game.
No. I'm probably going to pay a coach to put a camera on his hat, and I'm going to feed in, and I'm going to get a field side view.
I mean, I would answer, yeah, that's
You
a
could
yes.
go to Bend, the coast. You yeah, could still you could, go cool places in Oregon.
Yeah, you could live in good spots.
$100 million, that's the next four generations if your yeah. kids aren't morons.
Very true.
You
that
know,
sets up your family forever.
Set up a trust for your grandkids and your great-grandkids that your kids don't have access to. That's what you do. Because your kids are going to be stupid with it. Dad, can I get another 100 grand? I got this business.
Okay, let's get one more. Somebody texted in Big Mac sauce, too.
Oh, Thousand Island dressing?
You want some Big Mac sauce, Chocolate River, beer cheese, gravy?
No.
Gravy's a good one.
Gravy's not bad.
I don't want anybody else swimming in the gravy with me. Otherwise, I'm not going to taste it.
He said girls have wrestled in Jell-O for years.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. And somebody also texted in, fan text line, Sprague is light as a feather. He wouldn't even break the surface in Jell-O.
I would be like that yeah. Russian guy that goes and he runs to jump through the ice.
He does, yeah.
And he just lands on his tailbone. That would be me and Jell-O.
Okay, one last one here. Mail sack question. What is a worst weather day? Okay. You can pick one of these two.
Are you saying worse or worst?
I think he meant to say worse, but oh. he said worst. Oh. 110 degrees or 37 and rainy?
110 degrees.
Oh, it's 110. Yeah, it's 110. 110's worse.
Okay.
Now, that...
I think I go 37 and rainy worse.
You and I have argued about this.
We have, yeah.
And you think it's better to be cold than to be super hot. Or no? Yeah.
Other way around.
No. I've always argued about being in the hot is better.
Nah.
Yeah, if you're stuck in an extreme one way or the other, I've argued it's better to be in cold because you can put layers right. on. Yep. When it's 115 degrees, there's yeah. only so much
it's,
you can do.
It's tough. Right. So we differ there.
Yeah.
But in that circumstance, that's an easy one for me. I think 110 is far worse. And I dealt with 37 in rain this morning when I walked my dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's nothing.
Okay. I'd take 110.
You go to like 7.
Still play golf. You go drink beer. Feel good.
Go to 7 in rain, and then we'll talk.
7 in? Well, it would be 7 in snow.
Well, that would be snow or sleet.
Well, let's pretend it's rain for the sake of the argument.
Okay. There you go. You guys brought it today. Well done. Mail sack lives another week,
Thank
baby.
You. Yes.
Mail sack lives another week.
It goes again.
We'll do it again next Tuesday.
That was a really good mail sack.
That was a good mail sack,
Those
folks.
Are questions. I'm still contemplating what I swim in. Is it Alfredo sauce?
Alfredo sauce.
No. Do you realize
no.
that,
what's wrong with you?
No.
Do you realize in this segment, neither of you gave me any good other suggestions. I was the only one throwing stuff out. You guys were like, pop hurts my eyes.
I still think regular milk's the best choice. It doesn't hurt you. If you swallow a little bit, you'll be all right. Hey, Turtle Sex News.
It
and,
sure doesn't hurt you.
Turtle Sex News and Tony Romo making a lot of money. Hey, we didn't get fired. Welcome back in, 236. I do have a bit of news just to pass along. We were wondering what was going to happen here. And it didn't take long. Less than 24 hours after winning the national championship, Joe Brady, LSU's passing game coordinator, told folks today that he's planning to return to the NFL and to the Carolina Panthers. Likely, I would imagine, as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he's going to be play calling with Matt Rhule down there. And look, if you're a Carolina Panther fan, it's not a given. There's a lot of unknowns involved here. Brady has the NFL experience, but Joe Brady with Matt Rhule, going into the hiring process, I can't imagine any other team picking two guys they'd rather have than those two because of how hot commodities both of them have been.
On both sides of the ball, too, because yes. Rhule's a tremendous defensive coach and Brady's a great offensive mind.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. If I'm a Panther fan, I'm pretty jacked for this. If this ends up happening, it's not finalized. It's just Schefter saying
he's told people he's planning on
doing
it.
That he is going to go to Carolina. And if that is the game plan, then Carolina might have themselves a nice little staff.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Now they got to figure out. I believe they have the 7th overall pick in the draft. Likely going to take a quarterback. Cam Newton's got one more year left on his deal, but there's no future there.
Do you take a quarterback with the 7th pick, or do you address a different need?
Who's there? Is Tua still there?
That's what I don't know. Is right? Tua or Herbert, if they're still there?
Maybe they like her. I don't know who they like. They'd have to figure it out. And hell, maybe they try, and I doubt Cincinnati would want to budge. Maybe there's a way to wiggle your way into the top three and try and go get Burrow and keep them reunited.
I need to start diving into some of the pre-draft stuff and the mock drafts a little more, because I also think of Carolina. They're going to have a linebacker issue here, right? The Kuechly is at the end. Davis is gone. You got guys like Shaq Thompson aren't bad, but like I just wonder, are they looking defensively, or do they really feel that this is the draft? They have to go quarterback.
Yeah, maybe you just give Allen another year.
Offensive line. I don't know where they're going. So I think that's the fascinating part about those two going to Carolina as well.
So something to keep an eye on. Joe Brady telling folks, apparently, according to Adam Schefter, that he's bouncing to the NFL to be with the Carolina Panthers, likely as their offensive coordinator. He's a young up and coming coaching commodity. His future's bright if he continues what he started. Let's get to a bigger news story, though, and thanks to the P1. We had a P1 tweet this to us yesterday. This is right up our alley, and I'm gonna introduce you to Diego, who I believe was he the initial turtle we played the sound of? Was it Diego?
He was, yes.
Okay, you're claiming this. I don't remember this firmly.
This is the story that started it all. Story about a turtle saving his species.
Okay.
And Swag played the drop.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, it's the story. I don't necessarily know
if the sound
was indeed Diego. But yes, that story on stat or story is what
prompted it all.
Spawned this to play on the air.
Well, this is a Galapagos giant tortoise, estimated to be about 130 years old. He is returning home. This is just the start of the story on ABC. He is finally returning home at the age of 130, ready to retire, because he's had so much sex that he saved a species.
I'm very uncomfortable right now.
This is awkward. Don't look at me.
I'm making eye contact.
Don't make eye contact.
Make eye contact. Wait. Eye contact right now.
Look at me.
Way to go, Diego!
Every damn time. So here's basically...
Build a statue of Diego.
So his name's Diego. He was brought to the U.S. between 1928 and 1933. Okay, that's how old this damn turtle is. He was brought in 1933.
Before the Depression?
And before the,
What's the Depression, 36?
Yes, it was. Because if he came between those windows. So
29, right? Wasn't the 29 the year it, like, the crash?
I don't know. I haven't read that history in a while.
I think the Depression was like 29.
He was placed into the Charles Darwin Research Station for protection after his species was declared critically endangered in the 1960s. And he has spent 30 years at the San Diego Zoo's breeding program. He eventually returned back to Ecuador in 1977, joining his fellow tortoises at the Charles Darwin Research Center. He was in a captive breeding program for over 40 years. The population, so his turtle's population, went from 15,000 to, or excuse me, sorry, 15 turtles to 2,000 due to this program, and as many as 40% of them are thought to be descendants of Diego.
Dude, from 15 to 2,000, and you did that.
What's 40% of 2,000?
800.
Jeez.
Diego's been busy, man.
800. By the way, the Depression was 1929, so while everybody was down on their luck, Diego got shipped to go save the species.
Just go pound town, Diego. Let's go, buddy. He was living large. How about that? So, yeah, he's retired. He's being shipped back to his home, and he's ready to enjoy his waning years. I don't know how long these turtles live. He's extremely old. He's 130 years old right now, so I don't know how much longer he's got. But
well, I'm sure this is as great a story this is. I'm sure in 80 years from now, when we're long and dead, somebody else could be doing a radio show similar and talking about how a koala named Vernon saved an entire koala species because they had a massive bushfire in 2019, 2020.
Vern got the job done.
Vernon got it done.
Positive as out of a negative. So, Diego.
It's a great koala name.
Round of applause to you, Diego. Saving your species at 130 years old, popping out 800 little turtle babies.
You know, I just read an article yesterday about... in America, along with a lot of other countries, we have a population, a birth rate is decreasing at a point where if it maintains what it is, it's not going to be enough to replace an entire generation. And I thought, you know, that Diego story and now this one, I might try to convince the wife that I need to go and I need to save the human species.
You need to save.
I need to save the human species.
People need to be saved, man.
Let me go to San Diego, Tempe, Arizona, just a couple places.
Yeah. Just repopulate a couple of regions and I'll be back.
Yes.
No big deal.
Yes.
Aren't there 10 billion people on the planet right now?
Yeah, some cities.
I don't think it's quite at 10 billion.
Yeah.
First of all.
Yeah.
Second of all.
We got over a billion in China, over a billion in India.
Yeah. I think the population's at like 7.5 billion.
I have no clue.
But there'd be a lot of mixed Vietnamese kids. I mean, we could really be diverse in this program.
We got a few generations before things get dire.
Then you'll be needed. Then you'll make sure you're still pumping then. Your services will be needed.
Dude, I'm pumping to the day I die. Are you kidding me?
A couple of thoughts here at the fan text line. Somebody said that's not saving a species. That's inbreeding. How dare you? How dare you say Diego's an incest? Diego, the OG pimp. Yes, he is. Somebody asked if he's the Wilt Chamberlain of turtles. He indeed is.
Ooh, is he, though?
And then somebody said he came in rock hard in the midst of the roaring 20s. What a legacy. What a legacy Diego leaves behind. Okay, Tony Romo, how much money is he worth? Also, we'll answer some poll questions. We'll do it next right here on The Fan. Somebody texted in, fan text line. My grandpa died at 90. He told everyone he was proud. Still works.
There you go.
At 90, man. That's impressive.
Did you ever hear the Matthew McConaughey story? It's a legendary one. His dad died. He's told it a million times. I think he shared it on Howard Stern was like the most prominent place that he shared it. But his dad died in the middle of having sex with his mom. And when the people came to take the body away, because it was clear he was dead, the mom, Matthew McConaughey's mom, did not want them to dress because she wanted, quote, the whole neighborhood to see what he was dealing with. And he's always said that he wants to go out like his dad.
I mean, I can't think of a better way to go out than that. Right?
You've seen the love of your life naked, right? Enjoying your company.
That's it.
I can't. Yeah.
It's as good as it can, happen. Okay. Hey, there's a story out there. We might get into this more as the week goes on. I don't know how much meat on the bone there is. But I am of the opinion, and I don't know if you guys agree with me, that Tony Romo is the best color commentator we've heard in a long time, if not the history of the NFL. I find him insightful. He's funny, informative.
I can't do John Madden like that.
Okay, well, I can. John Madden is great, but
boom, 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 boom.
But Tony Romo to me is one of the best. But his contract is up at the end of the year at CBS, and he signed a 2-year deal, I guess. So his deal is up, and ESPN is reportedly preparing to offer him somewhere in the range of $10 to $14 million per season. $10 to $14 million per season to be the color commentator of Monday Night Football. Is he worth $14 million a year?
I don't know how they measure that stuff. I'm assuming it's advertising dollars, which goes along with eyeballs, which probably tells them that CBS eyeballs are the highest. If you think you can still save Monday night, I think that's the biggest thing for Romo, more so even than maybe ESPN, is $14 million a year. I think everybody's taking that number if it's offered to you, right? You wouldn't hesitate. But you'd also have to think, how does this affect my future? Is going to Monday Night Football the right move? I mean, Monday Night Football is kind of relegated as the fifth most important broadcast of the week. You get
if he was on it, would it still have that feeling?
I think it would change it, but it's not. I still don't think it beats the feeling of Sunday Night Football. Sunday Night Football is a day where I'm already consumed so much on the couch with coverage that it's just a nice little dessert for me.
Right.
Monday Night Football from time to time, especially with that schedule, it can be like I gotta watch Monday Night Football.
Right.
And I remember coming home once upon a time long ago, and Monday Night Football was the thing. So unless they're willing to schedule different, they keep giving Monday Night Football the crappiest games. $14 million a year might be worth it for Romo. Obviously, it'd be a great move for him because that's a ton of money. But is ESPN going to know for a fact they're getting better games?
Yeah.
Are people going to prioritize it more with Romo? That's the thing is, I don't know how much Romo... Does he really move the needle for sports fans? He's great. I would never deny that. He's the best one out there that's a color commentator. But I don't know how much he truly moves the needle. There were at least three games I didn't watch because I didn't care about the matchup.
They were so bad, yeah. We're almost not. If you're calling Jets and Bengals in like week 11, like he's not going to cut through that.
And I'm sure he's giving great analysis, but I don't want to watch that matchup.
Right, right. So there's some games. I'm with you on that. I think it's a good point. I think the other one too is if you're ESPN and ABC and you make this move and you pay for it, you better expand your profile. Because right now, let's say this move happens, ESPN only gets one playoff game a year, and it's in the wild card round, and usually it's a crappy game. I feel like it's the Texans every single season. Again, this year it was Texans and Bills. And if that's all we get on Romo, then I'm going to be pissed about this. Because at least as of now, you have the Super Bowl that rotates between the three networks, and you know you're going to get him on a Super Bowl every 3 years. You're going to get him on the AFC title game every year. You're going to get to call him the biggest divisional round matchup in the AFC called Houston and Kansas City. Like, he's on those broadcasts throughout the course of the playoffs. So if you go to ESPN and you're going to pay that much, I would hope that they would then throw their hat into that ring of, we want a bigger profile, whether it's on ABC or ESPN, of we want a Super Bowl every 4 years. We want bigger playoff games, not just a wild card. You need to expand in that way as well.
I'm still not certain why they haven't gone back to ABC.
They aired the one wild card game on ABC, but they don't Monday Night Football.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though, is why they don't do ABC Monday Night Football.
Well, I heard on their next round, that's in consideration.
They're trying to go big again.
So I think they want more say in getting better games consistently in that Monday night slot. Yeah. So if they put it back on ABC, they spend some money to get Romo also to see if they can get back in the Super Bowl rotation.
There's your bargaining chip. Better games, Romo,
ABC
on
would
ABC.
Get you a Super Bowl. You've had it before.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. So I'm all for it if that could happen.
What was that move for? Did they just save money going to ESPN? Well, I don't understand what that move was for.
Want to build their platform up on ESPN, probably. You steer all those eyeballs to your network, and then they stay afterwards and they watch SportsCenter.
But you're ESPN. You're already the biggest dog in that show, in that fight.
You know, you want a fun fact on this too? So Tony Romo played 14 years in the NFL, starting in 2003. His last year was 2016. You know what his average salary was when it all was broken down? He made $127 million in his career.
God.
That breaks down to an average over 14 seasons of just north of $9 million a year.
Man.
And he's on the brink of making more than that as a commentator.
He might make a half a bill when he walks away from broadcasting in 20 years.
Isn't that crazy? We'll keep an eye on that. That'll be fun. I hope anything that means Booger's not calling games anymore, I'm all for him.
Maybe one day you and I combined can get kind of close to that number in negotiation.
We'll get there,
maybe.
Yeah. 9.4. 9.4. Don't get too extreme.
9.4 would be great.
We'll get to this tomorrow. How long until a Pac-12 team wins a championship in football? 33% of you say it happens within the next 5 years.
I buy that too.
23% say it won't happen in the next decade. And then 76% of you like the Rolovich hire at Washington State. There you go. Good little show. If you miss any of it, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We have Gordy Rushon live from Baton Rouge to talk about LSU winning the national championship. He gave us some good insight on Edo, Joe Brady, Burrow, all the guys down there in their 15-0 season. And then John Heyman joined us, the Radio.com Sports MLB Insider, to talk about the Astros' punishment and what's to come for the Red Sox and the cheating scandal. That will do it for us. Thank you for being a part of our Tuesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.